Turn to Philippians 2. Last week we talked a little bit about the church in Ephesus. We went back and looked at the scriptures in Acts. And we also talked about Timothy's character. And we talked about how valuable he was to Paul. We read this verse last week, but I was reading it again coming home from Tyler, and it hit me in a different way, so I wanted to look at it again. Look at verse 19. Paul says, But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For this is what I was reading that gave me pause. Paul says, for I have no one right-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. So I just wanted to look at that again, because where is Paul as he's writing this?
Prison.
He's in prison. And he's talking about Timothy and how much Timothy means to him. And he says, I have no one else like-minded. I just thought to be in prison and to feel that way. So I just wanted to look at that again. Okay, turn back to 1 Timothy.
And you know, that shows us that it means something to even an apostle, especially in his dire circumstance. But it can mean something to us to know that someone is concerned about us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul is encouraging the Philippians, telling them that not only he is concerned, you know, but Timothy is concerned about them. And that, to me, it's encouraging, you know.
Yeah.
And it's encouraging when you're going through difficult times for people to be there for you, to know that you can count on them, no matter how little, you know, the thing is, if it was just prayers, you know, that you can do. Let them know that you're mm-hmm. doing that.
I'm glad you made a comment, because I forgot I was going to talk about that too. We're all very close here. There's so many good works going on here. If people need food, everybody chips in and everybody takes food. And also think about somebody that you feel about the way Paul felt about Timothy. I'm not talking about family. I'm talking about the family of God. Think about somebody that means a lot to you, that you feel like you can really count on. I know we can all count on each other, but there may be somebody just really special that you feel like can really help us. And so, look at verse 6. Aurora, would you read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6?
For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussions.
Okay, I looked up all the translations, and they all have a different phrase. The New American Standard says fruitless discussion. The ESV says vain discussion. I think y'all are studying vanity on Sunday and Wednesday. The American Standard Version says vain talking. The King James Version says vain jangling. That is such a strange word to me. And then the New King James says idle talk. So I ask you to describe idle talk. Oh, and before you answer, We started talking about the false teachers last week, and that's where we are in 1 Timothy right now. We've been looking at the false teachers. So, how do you describe idle talk?
Meaningless.
Fruitless.
What was that?
It's fruitless.
Fruitless.
It does not bring about the right kind of end. Mm-hmm. You know, the gospel is to bring the right kind of end, salvation and repentance. But idle talk and mere speculations and all these kinds of things, it wasn't bringing about that.
Right.
Strong says vain jangling as the definition of vain jangling is vain talking or empty talk.
Mm-hmm. Empty, yeah, okay.
I have empty chatter, gossip, speculation, which we talked about last week, and criticism. So these false teachers have left, as I understand, they were a Christian at some point, and now we're going to talk in a minute about what they want to do. But they've left the love of God from a pure heart and from a good conscience. And from sincere faith, straying aside and turning to this idea of idle talk. And what were they desiring? Melissa, would you read verse 7?
Wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident decisions.
So they wanted to be teachers of the law. And Paul says they don't, I think today we would say they don't have any idea what they're talking about. But this is, they wanted to do what they wanted to do. I think these are also Judaizers that were trying to teach the Christians the wrong things. So these were the individuals. Paul said, Paul went through Ephesus and he told Timothy he wanted to stay there and teach these people, instruct and correct. I think we already covered what did they not understand. They didn't understand what they were wanting to teach. Anything else on that?
Well, some of them, as Jesus pointed out, they were hypocrites. They didn't use the law correctly. Mm-hmm. They knew the law, but they didn't use it correctly. And so, you know, they were after their own pursuits.
That's exactly what verse 8 talks about. Yeah. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Who was the law meant for and who was the law not meant for? In verse 9 and 10. Let's read that first. Pat, read verse 9 and 10.
Realizing that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who will kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching.
He says that Paul lists in this verse, these are all contrary to the Ten Commandments. And the Jews would have been very familiar with the Ten Commandments. So who was the law meant for? Or who was the law not meant for? Not meant for who? The righteous. And the law is meant for the unrighteous person. It shows us the sin and it brings us to Christ.
It's all sin, you know. However you take the law here, going back and forth and everything, what law or the law is, but law convicts, mm-hmm. or punishes, that kind of thing. We're all sinners. There is no one righteous. And so the Jews, especially the Pharisees and the scribes, they thought they were righteous. They didn't. Jesus addressed that a lot of times. They thought they didn't need salvation. They were Abraham's children. So they didn't think they needed it, the gospel. They didn't think they needed teaching. They were above it. They were righteous. They were self-righteous.
Right. When I say righteous, what I mean by that is if we have become a Christian and if we're following Christ, we're still going to sin, and God has provided us an avenue by which we can get forgiveness. Melissa, did you have your hand up?
In Romans, you know, it talks about the law identifying sin. So it does convict. It convicts a person based off of, here, it lays it out, this is what sin is. And then brings us to Christ later. But originally that was, here, this is sin. This is your identifiers of it.
I take this to be the law of Moses, and we're going to talk about that, but first look at Galatians 3:24. Sally, would you read Galatians 3:24?
Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Okay, go ahead and read 25.
But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster.
So the Israelites had the law until the time that Christ came. And Paul is saying here that the law is the tutor. And the purpose of a tutor was to take care of children and to teach them and instructing and disciplining them when necessary. It both corrected and instructed the Israelites in God's ways until Christ was revealed, and then the tutor was no longer needed. Okay. What does sound teaching produce amidst false teaching? This may not have been very clear. I'll tell you what I was thinking about, and then you can make some comments. Get back to 1 Timothy. Verse 4 and 5 says, "No, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes, rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith." So verse 4, I was thinking about godly edification. When you contrast sound teaching amidst false teaching, sound teaching brings about godly edification. And in verse 5, I had good fruit. Sound teaching makes people fruitful. When we were talking about being fruitful and a while ago, I was thinking about in 1 Timothy, when he tells us to add all these things to our lives. And later on after that, he says, if you don't do this, you will be fruitless. And then on C, verse 11, look at that. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So sound teaching teaches us the glory of God. It showcases that part of God. What did y'all have for number 10?
I had the true gospel.
We talked last week about Paul teaching the same thing everywhere he went. So, sound teaching. Anybody else?
For verse 4, I put furthering the administration of God, accordingly, providence, the will of God.
diversify that love from within our
heart. Very good.
Okay. You mentioned faith in verse 4. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, not mere speculations and just idle talk. You have to have the gospel. So often, even today, people feel good in their heart, and you know they think they're right before God, but it's not by faith in the gospel that was preached. And so, you know, Paul is telling Timothy, it's got to be, you stick to this. This is how people are saved. This is the glory of God. The gospel is the glorious news mm-hmm. from God that saves men. And so, you know, it's not just having a faith in something. It's uh-huh. faith in the gospel that was preached, the pure gospel.
Yes. I think last week we looked at 1 Corinthians 14. That's about spiritual gifts. But we looked at how in chapter 14 there's several places where Paul talks about edification when we're worshiping. If we're not edified, then there's something that's not right. So.
Sandra, one thing, we talked about this, but as we go on and study the chapter, back up in verse 2, in verse 3, he's telling Timothy to instruct certain men not to teach certain things. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to talk about that. You know, so many times we try to tell people what to teach, you know, showing them the right things to teach. Mm-hmm. But evidently these men, there were people here that were teaching all these things and destroying, you know, the homosexuality and all this kind of stuff, all the worldliness. And they were teaching, evidently, you know, these people came out of idolatry where part of their worship was sexual acts. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we have to unteach people or teach them right. what not to teach and believe before we send them out to teach others, to be sure they have a foundation of what's right and not what's wrong.
Okay. Along with that, you know, today, that mere speculation, God loves everybody. And so, you know, we have churches that believe that Jesus is the Son of God teaching that it's okay to have women preachers. It's okay to have homosexuals and admit and that it's okay to be that instead of teaching against it. But it's their mere speculation how God, they have a wrong view of God.
Mm-hmm. We had a lot of opportunity to talk to Catherine the last couple of weeks, but we were talking about her former roommate at one point, and I forget where she goes to church, but Catherine was saying they had women, whatever they were, priests or I guess what we would think of as preachers. And so I want to mention one other thing. I looked at, let me see. Okay, in verse 5, Paul says, now the purpose of the commandment. And I thought, commandment? I wasn't sure. But I think in verse 3, where what Pat was talking about, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, I think that's the same word that's what the commandment is talking about in verse 5. I think commandment refers to the charge that Paul gave Timothy when he told him, I want you to stay in Ephesus and I want you to correct these teachers. So that's just something that I came across that I wanted to share. Okay. We'll go on to lesson 2. Did everybody get a copy of lesson 2 through 4? Okay. Lauren, would you read chapter 1, verse 12 through 17?
And I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Okay. So who and what is Paul thankful for in verse 12?
Christ Jesus.
And what about Christ Jesus?
That he put him into his service.
Yeah. Paul says Christ enabled him. He counted him faithful.
Yeah.
He put him into the ministry, as Pat says. It's hard to think about, and we're going to talk more about this, but it's hard to think about where Paul was. Would we have picked somebody like Paul? To begin with, we've been scared to death of him. We probably wouldn't have gone near him. And we're going to look at a lot about Paul's former life. But God knew what kind of man he was, and God picked him to be an apostle. How does Paul describe God's grace in verse 14?
Poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. And he used the adjective exceedingly abundant. Paul, in verse 13, Paul said he obtained mercy. And in verse 15, what does Paul say about Jesus?
He came to the world to save sinners.
Yes. This is the heart of the gospel. We keep talking about everywhere Paul went. We look at a lot of books in the New Testament that Paul wrote. And everywhere he went, he taught the same thing. This is the gospel. Actually, this is the heart of the gospel, what Paul is talking about. Which the world is all humanity. And Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And we think about the choices Paul made before he became a Christian. Look at Ephesians 2. Susan Hendrick, would you read verse 8?
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
So Paul is talking about the grace that Jesus has bestowed upon him. And he says, this is a gift of God in Ephesians. So in verse 13, let's go back to Timothy. In verse 13, Paul is describing his past. What kind of person was Paul?
Blessing, persecutor, injurious. But it was ignorantly in unbelief.
Paul says he was an insolent man. Insolent means arrogant, pride, and a lack of respect for God. That this is Paul talking about himself saying this. He's pursuing Christians. Look at Acts 8:3. Bobby, would you read Acts 8:3?
But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women he would put them in prison.
I'll never forget about that. And Susan Dunbar, would you read Acts 9, verse 1 through 5?
And Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats."
So, those two verses are very familiar to us, but we see what Saul did before he became a Christian. Drop down to number 6.
Sandra, mm-hmm. Before we leave that, it's interesting, it occurs to me, Paul was doing all of this because he thought he was serving God. And yet, we kind of single Paul out and talk about all his bad past. And yet, he chose Peter. And Peter wasn't as faithful as Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said he had lived in good conscience his whole life. And Peter denied the Lord. And then after he was risen, and Peter preached the first sermon, talked the first Gentile, he won't eat with the Jews he won't eat with the Gentiles because the Jews are there.
Yeah.
And so these are two very different men. But we think, you know, like you mentioned, these people were afraid of Paul, and with good reason. But if they would listen to him and would have known his story, it was because in his heart he was trying to serve God to the best of his knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so two things appear to that. Sometimes we look at Paul and kind of, not look down on him, but think he was a lot worse. You know, how could he be used to teach with all he did?
Mm-hmm.
And yet he was the most faithful of all of them, it seems like. And secondly, we judge our prospects.
Now,
sometimes we see people who are very religious and we think, they're never going to give up being Catholic. They're never going to listen to the truth. You don't know that. In their heart, they may be doing the best they know. That may be all they've ever been taught. And so sometimes, I've been guilty of this. You know, you think somebody, you hear them talking, you think, phew, well, they'll never be open to the gospel. They're so staunch in this. And some of the ones that you feel like are teachers for money, those are the ones that sometimes I think, you know, and maybe I shouldn't judge them that way either. But why are they doing what they're doing? Paul, everything he did was because he was serving God in his mind.
Yeah. I don't know if we can say this. I don't know if this is adding to the Bible, but God probably saw, God probably saw Paul's heart.
Oh, he did.
He did.
All of our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it so scary. Because we can, sometimes people even can fool themselves, but we can't fool God. That's so scary.
You know, in Philippians 3, Paul is going through what he was. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, mm-hmm. and according to the law, he was blameless. And then he talks about being, I fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, you know. And he was a good and faithful servant. Right here in 1 Timothy, in verse 12, the Lord considered him faithful.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Lord saw that he was faithful. And then, when he's in prison writing this, you know, to Timothy, he said he's strengthened because he's being able to, because he's serving. He's in prison, and of course he's going to die later. But he was strengthened by the fact that the Lord thought he was faithful and put him into service. And he was strengthened by that. So this is a man, like Pat was saying, that had a heart towards God, to serve God, to the zeal. He had, you know, zeal because he went persecuting the Christians. So this man had a zeal towards God.
Yeah.
A good heart.
At the end of the lesson, we're going to look at that, about Paul's service, and then we're going to talk about our service. And also, you mentioned Peter. That's hard for me to understand. Think of all the sermons he preached and all the good he did. And then, you know, Paul had to call him on the carpet just because of what you said.
That's a lesson for all of us. Our heart can be, we can have a good heart, but we have to be on guard all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, Peter was kind of impetuous.
Yeah.
And so, God chooses all kinds. I sometimes wonder if God didn't choose Paul in the beginning, because he might have been the one in the garden who would have stood, and he would have been killed along with Jesus, and in battle raised him from the dead.
Yeah.
It's always been odd to me that such a faithful man came to the knowledge of the truth later than the rest of the apostles. He said he was chosen out of due season, or out of time in different versions, different ways, but God didn't choose him in the beginning, and it wasn't because he wasn't a faithful man. God saw that he served God all the way. And God would have known that was his intent, to be serving God, not to be rebelling against Christ, because he was Christ, and that wasn't what they wanted, like the rest of them.
Okay, we're going to finish up by looking at some other passages where Paul talked about himself. Drop down to number 6. Let's look at how Paul described himself, and we'll look at 1 Corinthians 15. Carol, would you read 15:9?
Of 1 Corinthians?
Yes.
For I am least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God.
So, we already said Paul never forgot what he was doing, even though he thought he was doing the right thing, as we've said. He considered himself to not even be worthy to be called an apostle. But God felt like he was worthy. Look at Ephesians 3:8. Joanne, would you read that, please?
To me, the very least of all things, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ.
So here again, he says, I was the least. He didn't say the apostles. He says, I was the least of all the saints. He again remembers the kind of life, that things that he was doing. And he talks about God's grace that was bestowed upon him. Was somebody going to say something?
The ESV and some of the other versions say he was less than the least of. It wasn't just the least. He was less than. Almost all of them say that. Yeah. I think the New King James says that too. The less than the least of all saints.
The New American Standard says the very least.
The very least. Yeah.
But he also talks about his mission, preaching to the Gentiles, the unsearchable. He goes from talking about the least of the least, as y'all have talked about the different versions. He goes from that to talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that's the ministry that God put him into.
And you know, he calls this a grace that he was able to preach this gospel. He didn't think it was owed him because he was so great. You know, look at where he's got his heart and how he views himself. And so he sees this as a great favor, gift from God.
He was humble about it.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to stop there. Next week, we'll go back up to number 5. We'll start there.
Okay.
We'll continue this kind of thought and look at Christians before they're saved, what Paul has to say about that.